Thank you for choosing to listen to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. For more resources and information on our church or our team, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.
Hope Rock Church. I am Mark Batten, and I want to welcome all of you here today, visitors and members alike. And I know we have a lot of members dialing in online today because we have a lot of travelers. So Audrey, who did the announcement regarding giving, well, let's pray for her. She's been diagnosed with COVID, and her family couldn't be here today because of that reason. So a couple of weeks ago, we had Charles Graham here. He was a guest speaker, and during our staff meeting, first of all, I want to kudos to all of our staff. Most of them are not paid. We all work regular jobs. We gather here weekly, and we pray for you. We strategize. We dream big dreams for you and for our church. And a couple, 3 weeks ago, before Charles Graham came, I asked the question, because he was coming from out of state. I said, Marco, Charlie, what happens if Charles does not show up on Sunday morning? Do we have a succession plan? Because he was going to bring the message. Little did I know how prophetic that would be, because I am the succession plan today, because Marco is praying for the church in Colorado, and Charlie is at home with his family. Marco called me last night at 7 o'clock and said, hey, Mark. Actually, he said, hey, buddy. He likes to call me buddy. Hey, buddy. How you doing? I'm like, I'm doing fine. How are you? He goes, well, not too good. So he begins to unpack the events that unfolded yesterday. And then he said, well, I went down the list, and you're it. I'm like, what do you mean I'm it? He goes, you're it. Can you bring the message tomorrow? This was at 7 o'clock last night. And for a second, I thought to myself, I need 6 weeks to prepare. That is how I prepare messages. The Lord quickly caused me to say, without hesitation, well, maybe a little bit of hesitation, I told Marco, I'll be ready. In fact, that's the message today. It's about being ready. And as I began praying for what the Lord would have me say, granted, I've been up for 30 hours now. 30 hours. And you know what? Some might think that Mark's a rock star. Mark's going all out for Jesus, or he's super spiritual, or he has to do it because he's on staff here. No, Mark is doing this because I love Jesus, and my life revolves around his glory, his beauty, his dying on the cross for me, and that's why I'm here, because I can't help myself. And the sad thing is in the church is that we have folks that think that being ready is for somebody else. In fact, yesterday or last night as I was doing my message outline, I thought to myself, let's go to the Hope Rock Church website and see what the past few weeks of messages were, because I didn't want to have the same message. Or maybe I could dovetail on somebody else's message. You see, I was looking for material. And when you need material, you go to trusted sources. And our website is a trusted source. And one of our trusted sources is Jeremy Self, who is a pastor himself. And he preached a message called, Are You Ready? My title was, Be Ready. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to start from scratch. It's now 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, no, let me listen to Jeremy's message again. In the end, I believe my message is a prequel to his message. His message was about the day Jesus comes in all of his glory and the sky splits as far east from the west, the trumpets sound, and the great white horse appears. Jesus Christ comes to usher home his people. What I'd like to chat with you today about is being ready or getting ready for that day. That's what we're called as believers to do, to be ready. Now, before I unpack the message, which is not going to be that long, and I know we're thinking about lunch, but I really think that you need to hear me out here, because if the Lord kept me up for 30 hours and he gave me this outline, he has a word for you online and us here this morning, including myself. So let me open this up in prayer, and we'll take a quick look at what the Lord showed me last night. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that we are those who have placed their faith in Christ and Christ alone are sons and daughters of the Most High One. And Father, I pray for those who might be here today wondering if they know you or what it takes to become a son or a daughter of the Most High One. I pray for us that we would be open to hearing your word regarding being ready for that day. What it takes to be ready. What does it look like to be ready? And ultimately, why are we getting ready? So Father God, I just ask that you would speak through me this morning. I pray that my tired flesh would not be a hindrance to your spirit. And I pray this all in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. So on the staff chat board last night, it's blowing up because everybody knows that I'm going to fill in last minute. And everybody's praying, right? That's what you do when you don't know what's going to happen. When you're fearful, when you're uncertain about tomorrow or the next couple of hours, you pray. And one of the verses that came flying out in the middle of nowhere was 2 Timothy 4, 1, just part of it. And it says, be ready in season and out of season to preach the word of God. Now, us pastors like to laugh about that because it seems like we're always out of season. It's always inconvenient. I don't feel like it. I'm not in the right setting to preach the word of God. Anybody can think of a backyard barbecue where you just want to let your guard down a little bit and just be a spectator and just hang out with your friends, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and they want to talk about Jesus? Sometimes it's inconvenient, or you're just not quite ready, or you're not in the right frame of mind. So last night I began to lean into that verse, and I'm thinking, you know, to be ready in season and out of season to preach the word, I'm not in season right now because I haven't had 6 weeks to prepare. And I'm tired. The Lord reminded me that I am in season. I am ready. You know why I'm ready? Because for the past 6 years, I have been diligently pursuing the word of God and his word, allowing him to transform my life. You know, in 1999, I was ordained as a minister, and my wife, Patty, I love you, by the way. Isn't she beautiful? So blessed. I was ordained to be a minister of the faith. We quit our jobs. We went and planted a church, and that was the hardest work you'll ever do. And it was so rewarding. But it didn't turn out the way that I thought it would in terms of longevity, and I was going to grow, you know, a multi-campus church. The Lord had other plans, and so 5 years later, I kind of spiraled out of control. I went from being in season to being out of season. And I was out of season for 10 years. And 6-7 years ago, the Lord began to call me back into fellowship with him. And I can tell you right now that the only reason I'm up here today is because I am in season. I am ready to bring you the word of God. 2 Timothy says this. By the way, this isn't all about me. This is just a precursor for when I get to you all, okay? It's coming. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 2 says this. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. That's the ordination part for Timothy. And Paul's doing this on behalf of Timothy, laying hands on him. Who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom? Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. You know, I kind of made it sound like I'm a super Christian. And like, I got this figured out, and for 6 years now, I've not made any mistakes. Let me tell you, I make mistakes all the time. In fact, I would say that, let me just be honest with you. I'm violating the rules. You're not supposed to come off the stage. So I can do that, right? Because the bosses are away, right? So, you know, this past week, you know, the enemy really likes to toy with you. He likes to take you out with your Achilles heel, the thing he knows that, you know, is your weakness. This past week, as I'm studying and I'm reading, and by the way, I lead men's Bible study every Wednesday. So if you want to have a time of fellowship with other guys over the Word of God, let me know. My email address is on the website. This past week, I was under attack. There was twice during the week as I've got the Word of God open, and all of a sudden I hear, Mark, it's okay if you compromise your walk a little bit. It's okay if you allow your mind to drift or to go do something that, you know, nobody's going to know. In fact, you're not even on the docket for many months here at the church for preaching. You know, so it's not like you have to be ready for anything. That was going on in my brain. You know what I did? I took that thought captive and I made it obedient to Christ. I said, I'm not going there because I've been there. It's a lie. It's a cheap imitation of the good thing. And I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to be like my brother Derek back there. He's the crybaby of the church. Hear me out here. If I would have compromised my walk this week and I got that call from Marco last night, if I could preach this morning, I would have said no. I wouldn't say I'm out of season. I would say no, it's not a good time, or I'm busy. But because my spirit was ready for the opportunity to preach God's word, because I have a clean conscience, I'm walking in God's favor and his power, I said, sure, I'll do it. So point number one today is being ready is a daily decision. Being ready is a daily decision. I was ordained. That did not make me ready once and for all. You being a Christian does not make you ready once and for all for all the things that God wants and has for you to do here on earth. It's a daily decision. It's a battle of the mind. Romans 12:1, I believe, is the address where Paul's talking about being transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you don't do the things you used to do. Being ready is a daily decision, and I'm afraid a lot of you are probably like me too often. I roll over and I play dead, and I say, Lord, today is not your day. I'm going to allow the enemy to wreak havoc, and I'm going to regret it tomorrow. But you know what? That doesn't affect my sonship. We sin, but we are believers. We are God's children who have the capacity to sin. We're not sinless. We have the capacity, but sanctification is working out all those weird tendencies and desires so that we no longer desire sin over unity with God. So here's what Paul says about self-control. Again, this is all about me right now. Your time is coming up. But maybe you can relate. After all, Scripture is not meant for any one person. It's for the body of Christ. And you are the body of Christ for those who believe. I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I discipline my body. If you can just go forward one slide real quick, Derek. I gotta share this with you. Disciplining my body is not something that I do, obviously, right? Why are you laughing? Disciplining my body in the physical sense is not something that I love to do. In fact, this is my reason for not joining up for CrossFit or for a gym. Bible says so right here. For while bodily training is of some value, just a little, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So going back to 1 Corinthians 9:27, Derek, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching, or maybe you could substitute after sharing my faith with my neighbors or my children, I myself should be disqualified. Now, on the surface, you might think that disqualification means you lose your salvation if you don't keep your body under control. That's not what this is saying. It's you're going to be disqualified in the sense that you will lose the favor and the approval of God. Willful sinning causes you to lose the favor and approval of God. Now, how many of us go through life wondering if we have God's favor upon us or if he approves of us? The remedy for that is obedience to the word and to the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Now, going back to 1 Timothy 4:8, while there's some value in bodily training, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for what? The present life. If you have your Bible, you can underline that, and also for the life to come. So being a godly man or woman or child isn't something that you do to store up treasure in heaven, though that is true. We are rewarded for our obedience. But you can experience kingdom life here on earth. The promise is for us today, right here and now. As a heir of the kingdom of God, you have access to all the riches of the kingdom here on earth. Will you be given everything? No. No, that we cannot possibly experience all that in the flesh. It's going to have to be with our new bodies and in the presence of the King. The Bible says when we see him in all of his glory on that day, we will become like him. So we will be fully glorified when we see him. At that point, we'll be able to handle all the riches that the kingdom has to offer. But there is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in you. He seals your heart for that day of redemption. And guess what? You can experience kingdom life today. Who wants a little bit of kingdom life today? Just raise your hand. Amen? Again, being disqualified is not the loss of salvation, but the loss of favor and approval from God. 2 Timothy 2:15, again, speaking to pastors and to you, but this is really meant for Timothy, the pastor. Do your best, Timothy, to present yourself to God as one approved. That's the opposite of being disapproved or disqualified. Approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is why I'm here today, because I am doing my best with sin in my life. I am not above it. But if you saw me 10, 15, 20 years ago, and you saw me and you knew me now, you would see a remarkable difference. It's not because somehow I'm better than you, or that somehow God has more love for me. He loved each and every one of us equally when he died on the cross. And the same access to the kingdom and to the Holy Spirit and to God you can have as well. But do your best, Mark, to present yourself to God as one approved. I am approved to rightly divide the word of truth. That just means to handle it correctly, to exegete the text, which is to extract truth and apply it to our lives today that we might live godly lives. Now, I can't lead Fight Club, be an effective deacon or a preacher, if I'm not fighting the good fight myself. I work with men all the time who are just, they're heavy laden with guilt and shame and wonder why they're not effective in their walk, either personally or in fulfilling the Great Commission to know Christ and to make him known. It's because they allow sin to rule over them. And when sin rules over you, guess what? Jesus can't rule over you. And when he doesn't rule over you, you're not approved. You are not favored. You're still a son. You're still a brother. Don't lose this fact. We're going to unpack this in a second. Don't confuse good works with your eternal security in heaven. My effectiveness in making disciples and enjoying the kingdom status that I currently enjoy and will enjoy forever is directly related to my obedience to God's word. Let me rephrase that for you. Your effectiveness in making disciples, which is the reason you're here, this is the reason Jesus left you here on earth instead of calling you home the minute you accepted him as your personal savior. He wants you to bring him honor and glory through your lives and also to usher others into the kingdom of God through your witness and your preaching. Your effectiveness in making disciples and enjoying your kingdom status as brothers and sisters, as sons and daughters, is directly related to your obedience to God's word. Now, all this that I've unpacked so far is just not for pastors and preachers and teachers and leaders. This goes for all believers. So I'm going to shift a little bit. And first of all, I hope I'm coming across as warm and fuzzy. I really am a warm and fuzzy guy. I am. I'm told I'm likable. My wife tells me I'm likable sometimes. I have a few friends, but I just want you to know that I'm passionate about life change. Because when you've experienced it, you can't help but talk about who changed your life. So, this is for all of us here today. Colossians 1:10 through 14. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience and with joy. Point number two is being ready, quote unquote. I know I'm messing up your order back there, Derek. I don't care. The Lord's in charge. Point two, being ready benefits others and glorifies God. Walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, as I just said, is a daily exercise that you and I must take in order to be ready to be a benefit to others and to bring honor and glory to God. You can go back to Colossians 1:10. Walk in a manner. This is why being a daily pursuer of God, why making daily decisions to glorify God and not succumb to your own, how do I say this? Whims, desires, things that are not pleasing to God. Walking requires getting up, right? Not all of us, I don't get up as much as I should. I sit at my desk all day and I work. And sometimes my wife has to force me to get up. The good thing is sometimes I'm sitting there for 14 hours studying God's word, running my company, doing other things that are beneficial. But I have to get up and walk. I have to exercise daily. I have to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So how many of you here today, including myself, are bearing much fruit? Our fruit production is growing. I want to caution you here. Fruit, you won't believe what fruit looks like in the kingdom of God. When God says, let's look at the fruit of the church, you'll be amazed at what's fruit. A lot of fruit you can't even see growing today. It will be revealed. So let's not be fruit inspectors. Let's just know that God is pleased when we bear fruit. And that just means to do things that will stand the test of time, that God's pleased with, that will make a kingdom difference, that is adhering to the word of God. Bearing fruit in every work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. How many here, and I'm talking to myself. No, I have a lot of book knowledge. I study hours a day. I'm in seminary studying, writing 15-page papers every other week, taking tests. I study, study, study. I lead the Bible study. I am filled with knowledge. But does that knowledge translate into experiential knowledge? Like, I know that God is this way, and he says that, and guess what? I walked in that truth, and I experienced that myself. That is the kind of knowledge God wants for you and I. Experiential knowledge, not just head knowledge. Head knowledge should change your heart, and your heart should direct your steps. Are you hanging with me? Okay. This is for all of us. Especially at this critical time in our church where we're basically brand new, starting all over again. You're here because we need, let me rephrase that. We don't need anything. God will supply all of our needs. You have the privilege of participating in what God's doing here at Hope Rock Church. If you are ready for the call. That's where you miss out, I miss out, when God's doing amazing things, yet our head's in the muck, we can't see the forest because of the trees, and we can't even hear God because of the sin in our life. Being strengthened with all power, Holy Spirit power. I am up here today after 31 hours, not because of my own power. It's Holy Spirit power. According to the glorious might for all endurance, yes, I need endurance. And patience. How many need some patience today? Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your wife. But guess what? We endure and we have patience with joy. That's what the Holy Spirit produces. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy. Patience. Perseverance. Joy. Continuing on here, Paul says in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. That's my bracket. He's made you fit or adequate. He's justified you. He's counted you innocent. He took Jesus' record of sinless perfection and transferred it to your account. He qualified you. He made you white as snow once and for all, never to be tainted and dirty again. But the flesh is sinful. But in heaven, your position in Christ, God sees you as fully innocent and fully clean. Not a blemish on you or me. He did all this so that we might share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. If you have your Bibles, circle qualified you and circle inheritance. This is super critical for you to understand. We have a picture here of gifts versus reward. We have a gift and we have a reward. God, through his son Jesus, gave you the gift of eternal life. If you believe that he is the Son of God, came to take your place on the cross, he paid your penalty and my penalty for sin. That is what makes you qualified in God's sight, or adequate, or fit for the kingdom, is because you have been qualified. You've been given this gift of eternal life. That's the hope that's in us believers. But as a believer, you have an option to share in the inheritance today or wait till kingdom come. And there is a disproportionate distribution of inheritance according to what you did here on earth. What you did to bring honor and glory to God. Did you pick up your cross daily and follow him? Did you make much of him or much of yourself? We'll unpack that in a second. And that, you know what? That's an overused phrase, and I'm going to try not to say that. You know what happens when I hear, we're going to unpack that shortly? Be honest with me. Oh, no, we haven't even got started yet, and I'm already hungry. I'm almost done. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Here's the really good news. And this goes back to the gift part of that verse. He, Jesus, has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. Can I get an amen for that? He rescued you from darkness, from the chains of bondage. And that's my life story. I just rescued from that. Sometimes I want to go back, but I don't have to go back because I have been set free and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Point number two is being ready benefits others and glorifies God. I brought that up a second ago. This is where you all come in here. Being ready benefits others and glorifies God. Too many of us have a me-centric Christianity or outlook on our faith. Oh, it's a private faith. Oh, I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters. That's not sound theology. That's not what the Bible says. Titus 3:1 says this, be ready for every good work. What does every mean? Does it mean just whenever you feel like it? No. To be ready for every good work is the commandment given to us as believers. Titus 3:8 continues, the saying is trustworthy. What I'm telling you is trustworthy because scripture is trustworthy. What does trustworthy mean? You can count on it. Right? This saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist. This is what the Holy Spirit's telling me. He wants me to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to what? To good works. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Did you hear that? Doing good works is excellent in God's eyes. And it's profitable for people, including yourself. This is how you can participate and enjoy the things of heaven here on earth. It's God's favor, his blessing, his power, as you share your faith, as you do good works. And we could have a whole sermon series on what good works looks like. But good works is being obedient to the word of God. It's responding to that still voice in your head saying, do this or don't do that. It's acts of omission and acts of commission. It's avoiding doing the things that you're used to doing or you like to do that may not be pleasing, but it's also setting forth and doing something that God's empowered you or called you to do. It's these good works that help others, and it's profitable for them. That is what drives me to get up every Wednesday morning at 4:30, 5 o'clock to get ready for a 6:45 Bible study with the guys. I want my good works to spill over into their life. And I'm not earning God's favor by my good works. I think I made that clear before. There is joy. We prayed this earlier today. There is joy that surpasses all understanding when you are walking in the light, when you are fellowshipping with God, when you are being obedient to his word. If your marriage is miserable, if you're miserable at work, if your kids are driving you crazy, well, maybe there's not a remedy for that, especially during this pandemic. But if your life in general is just peppered with anger and just you're grumbling all the time and there's no hope and there's no joy, I'm going to encourage you right now that you need to ask God to forgive you and ask him to show you what those things are that are keeping you from experiencing that joy in your life. So keeping your Christianity to yourself is not how God designed our walk. This is not pleasing to him. This is not excellent. You need to go and help that person who is still in spiritual darkness, and you do that intentionally. It's not, I hope they see my bumper sticker on my car and they ask me about this fish or ask me about, you know, my church. No, approach them. Let your life be a light, but also be intentional in sharing your faith. And I can help you with that, as well as other leaders here at the church. If you ever need help on how to start that conversation, one way you can do it is get a tattoo of Jesus. That always sparks the conversation. I go to Whole Foods, I pay with my credit card. Oh, nice tattoo. You know what my response is? Thank you. Do you know him? Oh, yeah. Do you know him personally? And then I unpack the gospel right then and there. There's other ways to do it, but tattoos are pretty easy. Titus 3:4-7 says this. Because this, I want to remind you on works and grace. This is super critical. We've been talking about doing good work. This is what the Bible says. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, that would be Jesus, he saved us. Underline this if you have your Bible. Not because of works done by us in righteousness. We can't bring anything to the table. In fact, the Bible says our good deeds are like, you know, filthy rags in his sight. It's really not a comparison. Our good deeds, according to the sinless, perfect God-man, Jesus, dying on the cross for us, it doesn't compare. You cannot bring anything to earn God's favor, to earn his love, to be saved, to maintain his love for you. You can just like a parent, you can maybe not be pleased with your child, but he's still your child. You still love him. Though you're not going to shower him with rewards, right? You're going to punish him. I would say that anytime God punishes you, it's for a good purpose. It's to bring you closer to his heart so you might become someone who can bear much fruit and know Jesus even more so. He saved us not because of our works, but according to his own mercy, by washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly. Richly. You didn't get a little bit of Jesus when he died on the cross. You got the whole shebang. And God poured out his Holy Spirit on you as a believer. He didn't hold back anything. There's no reason why you can't light the world on fire for Jesus, because you have all the power you need. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. If you have this hope of eternal life and you really know it and you see it for what it is, it's going to change your trajectory here on earth. You're going to participate in the building of the kingdom here on earth. You're going to experience God's power in your life now as you're building the kingdom of God now, as you're paying it forward instead of just getting by. Because you have the hope of eternal life. But if you really had the hope of eternal life, and let me just tell you, hope in the sense here isn't like we hope it happens. It's a certainty. The word of God says, he who believes in my son will never perish, but have everlasting life. You die, you're immediately in the presence of the Lord. We have that hope. It's a real hope. That should change the way you live your life today. Point number three, being ready anticipates a joyful union with Christ Jesus. being ready anticipates joyful union with Christ Jesus. Luke 12:40 says it this way. You also must be ready, that's you and I, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Whoa. If that's true, and he comes at this certain hour of the day or night, will I be pleasing in his sight when he sees me? Will I be embarrassed? Will I be ashamed? As a believer, none of that will happen. That's my belief. You will not feel any sense of remorse, guilt, or shame. You will be exalting his name. You'll be worshiping him. We'll all be flat down on our faces worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We won't think about what we did wrong. We won't even be looking at other people who are in the same assembly together. Like, oh, how'd he get in or how'd she get in? Oh, I can't. Well, gosh, if you only knew the stuff he did or she did in his lifetime or her lifetime. Trust me, that will not be happening. We will be fixated on Jesus. But there is this element of reward I want to touch on before we close. So we'll all be there because we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's a one and done transaction. You hear the gospel, you realize your need to be forgiven, and that the only way for forgiveness is to place your faith in the Son of Man, also known as Jesus. And if I place my faith in him, and I place my hope in a resurrection life, eternal life, I'm saved. That's what the Bible says. That's the gospel. But from there, we start talking about sanctification and bearing much fruit. Now, you're in, but because of the gift of God. It's a gift. But as believers, we have an opportunity to actually earn blue ribbons and get crowns and other embellishments of faithful acts of service. When I'm in heaven, I want to hang out with Paul, who's probably going to look like a 5-star general with all these ribbons and ropes. And I mean, I want to be like that. I won't be, but that should be our goal. And it's not because somehow God loves us more that we're going to show off, but that brings honor and glory to God. He loves that. He created you for a purpose. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so excited here. But look at this in Revelation 19:6-8. It's the difference between being a bride and an adorned bride. It's the difference between just being a Raggedy Ann bride, nothing wrong with Raggedy Ann, I think she's cute, or a Cinderella bride. There's a difference. They're both brides, but one is beautiful beyond compare. Let's look at this before we close. John says this in Revelation. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude. That would be all the worshipers, all of us who have been carried up into heaven. The voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." Interesting. The bride made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. So, the bride is the church. The church is comprised of individual souls, believers. Not everybody is going to be adorned with the crown of righteousness. And there's a whole new message on all the things that God promises in addition to eternal life in the kingdom of God. Here we have a picture of the bride. She made herself ready. She wasn't just the bride because she was the bride. She was the bride because she was the bride. God redeemed her from the kingdom of darkness, but she made herself ready. How does she make herself ready? Righteous deeds. Are you following me here? Righteous deeds led to her being clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. Now, the Jews at this time understood the idea of a bride making herself ready. Betrothal is as good as being married. Being betrothed was the same as being married, except you didn't have the benefits of being married. You didn't get to live with each other. You couldn't have physical relations with each other. Well, during this time, the groom is busy preparing the dwelling place. What does that remind? Didn't Jesus say, I'm leaving, I'm going away, and I'm going to build a mansion for you when you come to heaven? This is what this is a picture of. The groom, in the earthly sense, is busy preparing a house. That's what Jesus is doing for us right now. And while the groom is building the dwelling place or preparing a place for us, for them to live, the bride is busy making preparations for the wedding. And guess what? Know how long she had to wait, oftentimes, in Jewish custom before she got married? Alone, at home, preparing for that day? 1 year. For 1 year, the bride and the groom-to-be were separated while they all tended to their own aspects of the wedding. He's building a house. She's preparing for the wedding. Often the groom would show up unannounced during that end of that year betrothal or engagement, if you want to call it that. Can you imagine the look on the fiancé or your wife-to-be if you caught her not honoring your soon-to-occur wedding and the wedding feast? I imagine that's happened, right? The husband comes knock, or the husband-to-be comes knocking on the door, and she's not busy preparing for that wedding. Maybe she's not convinced it's going to happen, or maybe she's had second thoughts. I'm sure he's thinking to himself, you know, how would he find her? Would she be faithful? Would she be making herself beautiful? Jesus doesn't have to wonder if he's going to find you faithful or beautiful. He already knows that. But do you love Jesus enough to make sure that when he does come, that you're ready? That you've been making plans for his return? It's going to happen. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And I hope you understand that this morning, I just ask that if you overlook any of my mumblings or my stumbling words, and I hope you can just see into my heart. I'm tired. But this is the best day I've had in a long time, let me tell you. Because I'm doing the Lord's work. He's pleased with me. Not because I put on a show, but I was faithful. I've been preparing myself. Really, for 7 years now, I've been preparing this message. So you be the judge. Was it a good one after 7 years? Yeah, I've preached before, but I had 6 weeks to prepare. This was like, you've got 6 hours to prepare. So my heart was prepared for this because of me placing Christ first in my life. I want to leave you with Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You're not saved by good works, you are saved unto good works. And there's an opportunity here at Hope Rock Church for you to work your you-know-what off for his glory and the salvation of many. And you'll do that work through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the love of brothers and sisters in Christ here at Hope Rock Church. We're mission-focused. We're mission-minded. We want to know him personally, experientially. We want to know his word. We want to make him known. If that doesn't get you excited, keep coming. Someday you're going to say, that excites me. For those who are excited about the mission of Christ Jesus, come on. Sign up for the next DNA course. Grab a pastor. Ask him to pray for you regarding, you know, how you can be of service, how you can use your spiritual gifts for the kingdom of God. I want to leave you with just a summary of the last 3 points. Being ready is a daily decision. It's not going to be a one-and-done decision. Every day, on your knees, in your word, in the word of God, and making tough decisions when they appear in the most inopportune time. Being ready benefits others and glorifies God. Being ready anticipates joyful union with Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Rock Church at Lake Travis podcast. We are a church that is passionate about knowing Christ and making him known in our city, the nation, and the ends of the earth. For more information on who we are, please go to www.hoperockchurch.com or find us on Facebook.